The government this week announced plans to ban so-called conversion therapy for gay and lesbian people. Follows a survey which showed that most instances of attempted conversion therapy occur in a religious context. Harry Farley reports.
So I'm sat in Manchester's Gay Village. It's early in the morning, so we can hear the sound of commuters around us. And next to me is the memorial to Alan Turing, the Second World War codebreaker, who endured horrific attempts to change his sexuality. With me is Jane O'Zan, a member of the Church of England's General Synod. And last year, Jane, you persuaded the church to back a ban on conversion therapy and call the government to do the same. What's your reaction to this week's announcement?
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled with the determination that the government has now shown to back this ban. And actually trying to change something that you just can't change puts so much pressure and stress on the individual. I spent years praying just myself and God and praying with friends and then going through deliverance ministry, but constantly feeling a failure, constantly being told that I didn't have enough faith or that there wasn't something I was being honest about. And that constant, if you like, burden of feeling that what I was yearning for, which was God to intervene, wasn't happening, is what caused me such stress in my body and led me to being in hospital and then having two major breakdowns.
But not all religious groups share Jane's enthusiasm for a ban on conversion therapy. Mike Davidson is an evangelical Christian and the director of the Core Issues Trust, which offers counselling for what he describes as unwanted same-sex attraction. He says he is ex-gay and says conversion therapy worked for him.
What we do is sexual attraction fluidity exploration. We acknowledge that sexuality is fluid. It can go in different directions. And people have different values and want to align their sense of sexuality and their sexual identity to their values.
The government's definition of conversion therapy is very broad, and there is concern from some religious figures that it could extend to prayers and spiritual counselling. I spoke to David Hilborn, who is the chair of the Evangelical Alliance's Theology Advisory Group.
I think that if you're talking about preaching and teaching, there are wider issues there of religious liberty and freedom of expression. But what this report is largely focused on is the sort of individual offer of therapy to people who might be gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. And we would strongly want to condemn coercive techniques and controlling techniques that are against people's will in that particular case.
At the heart of this controversial and sensitive issue is whether sexuality is something you are born with or is it something that can change. Mike Davidson had this view.
The truth is, we don't know for sure and we're not ready to pronounce on that. But of course, from an ideological point of view, we are and we have been, and that's what the government is doing in this ban.
Michael King is Professor of Psychiatry at University College London, and when I put Dr. Davidson's claim to him, he dismissed it.
What we do know is that it's not related to upbringing or parental actions. We're very clear on that. There's no sign that there's anything in your upbringing that leads to being gay or straight. And we're left with something that seems very basic and innate and appears very early. Even in childhood, people become aware of some element of their sexuality. So it would seem innate.
And is there any scientific evidence that sexuality can change, that conversion therapy actually works?
No, there's no scientific evidence that it works at all.
Ben Bradshaw is the Labour MP for Exeter and has campaigned on the issue of conversion therapy.
The basic principle here is that it is unacceptable, totally unacceptable in modern Britain to treat somebody's sexuality or their gender identity as something that should be or can be cured. That's the bottom line. So as well as a legal ban, we're going to need quite a lot of educational work within some of these fringe faith communities.
Is there a danger that because conversion therapy is defined so broadly, that this could lead to the government interfering in some way with the church's teaching on sexuality?
Well, there's a difference between the church's teaching on sexuality and trying to persuade people or force them to change their sexuality or sexual orientation. But what we're talking about here is essentially, particularly for young people, a safeguarding issue. It is protecting young people from this deeply damaging psychological and other types of therapy and pressure to make them feel that they need to change the way they are naturally as young human beings. And that's the message we need to get across. And if it means that the state needs to intervene, the state has intervened. The state's intervened to protect children in faith organisations. Child protection laws apply to the churches as much as they apply to anyone else. And there are some areas where the protection of young people and children are more important than the dogma and the traditional teaching of some of our religious organisations.
But David Hilborn is concerned that this could amount to state control of religion.
The techniques of coercion, control, pressure are one thing, but the articulation of a sexual ethic across a range of religious traditions is another thing. And if the government is looking to censor religious doctrine, when we're into a very different kind of area, the proscription of religious teaching is a whole other debate, which goes to freedom of speech, religious liberty. And that's not the same debate as a debate about therapeutic techniques.
Back at the Alan Turing Memorial with Jane O'Zan, I asked her about her fellow evangelicals and their concerns about religious liberty.
Well, I passionately believe in religious freedom. As a Christian myself, I think it's terribly important that we're able to worship in spirit and truth. But I also believe that that has boundaries, that we need to ensure that we don't do harm. You know, at what point do we have limits? And we know that this type of therapy, this type of mindset, that one has to change because who we are is an abomination, causes deep, deep trauma and leads many to self-harm and sadly even suicide. I think we have to be very open and honest about what we mean by conversion therapy. It's a mindset that exists in a certain set of churches that being gay is wrong, and therefore you try and do anything to seek God's healing, believing that God will heal you. But what we now know is that God doesn't heal something that's not broken.
So is there a danger that this is the government telling churches, particularly evangelical ones and other religious groups, what they can and cannot believe?
I think this is a case of the government recognising the harm this does to young people and actually wanting the churches to wake up to that and actually telling them enough is enough. You have seen the thousands of stories of people who've come forward. You know, there may be one or two people who feel that this has worked. I believed that conversion therapy had worked for a couple of years and then it didn't, and that led me to a second breakdown. But there are thousands of people whose stories show the opposite, and we have to listen to that pain and recognise that this is dangerous, harmful, and needs to be stopped.
Jane O'Zan talking to Harry Farley.